All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This is an exciting moment for me, my first webinar on 5 tips to find your bliss. And what really inspired me was you guys, you know, all my friends that are sort of in the same place that I was 2 years ago, really having this drive to find a better and happier life. And then maybe a better and happier situation in their career or their relationships, and not really knowing what to do and not having anyone to help them. And it can be really, really lonely and really frustrating and hard and tough. And, you know, I want to share my experiences so that hopefully I can reach people and let them know that, you know, they're not alone, number one. And number two, like, there are ways to get out of it, and you can and will be successful. Yeah, so a little bit more about me. 2 years ago, I quit my career in consulting. I was an IT consultant for 8 years, and I hated most of it. But I never completely fully left because it took me 8 years to really say, I'm fed up. And I don't have anywhere else to go. And this is like my last ditch effort to find something new. I had spent all my free time in those 8 years really looking and searching for my happiness, for what's better, for a new job, for a different career. And I really didn't get anywhere. All the roads led to dead ends. And so I finally said to myself, you know, how can I get out of this? What can I do? And one thing led to another, and I quit my job. I said, I need more time for myself, for number one, to address my own happiness, and number two, to find my passion, because I realized that those two things are actually not synonymous. You can be happy without doing your passion, but if you want to find your passion, then you know, that's definitely a great goal too. So we'll talk more about all these things. And why don't I jump into what I have created for you. Okay. All right. So, the first one, I believe that it really serves you to have a willingness to try and fail, because failure, I think, is perceived as a negative thing right now. A lot of people are afraid to fail. A lot of people are afraid to try, and that stops a lot of people from trying. And I want to introduce you the idea that trying is important. Trying will teach you about yourself, and trying will help you connect with others. Say you always wanted to try out surfing, but you're afraid of, you know, falling in the water, looking bad, failing. It's really, maybe you should think about turning it around and thinking, failure is not a bad thing. Failure is part of the trying. Failure is going to be a good thing, because falling off the surfboard is going to teach me about how to surf better. Falling in the water is going to teach me how to be in the water and not be afraid. Falling in the water is going to teach me that I can swim up to the top and be okay. And so I want to introduce to you guys that failure can be a positive experience. And when I started to embrace this idea that failure is a positive thing, it helped me sort of get unstuck, because I think one of the common pitfalls of, you know, going out and searching for yourself what you want to do is that you really have to try a lot of things. You know, there's no way out of it. In other words, you have to, if you don't know what you want to do, or you don't know what makes you happy, or you don't know what your passion is, you need to go out and try different things to figure that out. and you're going to fail. You're going to reach dead ends, but those dead ends aren't a bad thing. And so one thing I want to invite you to do right now is think of a time or an experience that you thought was bad. Maybe you failed at something, maybe you failed a test, maybe you went to the DMV and failed your first, you know, driver test. Go back and think of something for yourself that you have a negative spin on. And then I want to invite you to turn that into a positive experience. You know, what good thing came out of that failure? Can you identify one good thing? And what is it? And I want to invite you guys, if you want to share, to unmute yourself and share what that is, what your failure was, why you thought it was negative, and then, you know, tell us why it was actually a positive experience. So if you need a minute or two, take a couple minutes, and if anyone would like to share.
I'll share. This is Patricia. Maybe I could use your help in how to make it a positive. Because last month, you know, we've been working for a while with this egg donor process. And last month, I was just convinced that it was going to work because we had a lot of good statistics and we tested the embryos and they were all healthy. I was pregnant for about 3 weeks and then I wasn't pregnant. So when you said, think of one positive thing that could come out of that, no, except that I think my little baby embryo soul went to heaven, but I don't really know. No. I don't really know how to say anything positive about that. It's really sad.
Okay. Well, let me make sure I got the whole picture right. So it sounds like you're in the middle of trying to get pregnant and you got an egg donor that seemed really viable. Everything looked really good. You started the process. And you said you're 3 weeks into it, and you didn't get pregnant when you thought you would.
I was pregnant, but it didn't stay. It didn't take. So basically,
I see. Sorry, you're breaking up. You said it didn't stay. You got pregnant, and then it didn't stay. So you had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't think of you can't think of a positive thing out of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like you learned anything from the process?
Well, I guess I learned not to get my hopes up. I was so optimistic that it was going to work. And it was even like my dad was like, oh, it's on a lucky Chinese date, 8/8/2018 is the day I, you know, got inseminated, and we were going to get the news like near my birthday. So I was like, oh, God is totally going to give me a baby for my birthday. I was so optimistic, you know, like I just, so I think I was like crushed when it didn't happen.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you really got your hopes up. You had all these, you know, positive signs helping you out, 888, and, you know, the day that you were going to get news was your birthday. So you were just really super optimistic and hopeful about it. But when you got the real news, it was really, really crushing to you. It really broke your heart, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to first commend you for trying this whole process. I think that it's really brave of you guys to even try it, right? This is like something that you really want to do. I can tell you want to be parents and have this kid. And so I just want to say you're awesome, you know, for doing all this and for putting yourself out there and putting your heart into it. And then receiving, you know, the way that you did, this failure that, you know, you're not pregnant. I think that even though you said you were crushed right now, it sounds like you're accepting it. Would you say that?
Like, I think because we weren't that far into it, it was a little bit easier to accept. And the fact that we have one embryo left, that we still get another chance. So I'm trying to put positive energy into that. But if there's a way you can help me see something positive in that experience, I think that would be interesting.
It sounds like you have one more chance, and for that one, you know now not to get so excited that if you get bad news, you kind of get this crushing heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that what I'm hearing? You're kind of, from this experience, you've learned that, you know, to pace yourself a little more, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that in itself is a small win, you know? You guys are going through this hard roller coaster ride of a process of, you know, will I be pregnant? Will I not be pregnant? What happens if I'm not? And worrying about that. And you just went through this huge heartbreak, but yet you're ready to try again. You know, you're ready to go through it again because this means a lot to you, and because you're brave enough. And you're courageous enough, and you're strong enough to go through it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I see. You know, just telling from your voice and the way you speak about it, you're ready. You know, yeah. I don't hear any fear. I don't hear worry. I just hear, like, we're going to do it again. I'm not going to get my hopes up as high, but I care about this and I'm going to try again. And I think that is really awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're more courageous, you're braver than you were before?
I don't know. I just feel like I don't see any reason to wait. You know, we're already kind of in this mode, so we're just moving with what's next. And they did some tests this month so that they could tweak kind of what the hormones they are, the levels of the hormones that they're giving me, so that we have a better chance next time of getting it right. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm still,
I
feel like it's a healthy thing to, you know, like be positive and try to manifest want. But yeah, when you said that, like see something positive and a negative experience, it was kind of an interesting idea because I didn't really need to see anything positive in it. I just accepted it as what it was.
Mm. Well, it sounds like it made you more ready for this next try. You know what to expect. You've been through the process. You know now the tests are good. You're ready to try again. And, you know, there's no wavering in your voice. It feels to me that you're confident. Maybe not about the outcome and thing, but like about yourself, you know, like you're a wiser person.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Better news this month. Okay. Next month, I mean.
Good. Well, good luck. I'm going to send positive vibes your way, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, this idea of, you know, willingness to try and fail, and then seeing the failure as a positive thing, you know, really turned my life around, and I encourage you all to try it for at least one thing in your life, and see if it helps you, because, You know, I know firsthand how failures can get you down, and you don't want failures to hold you back. You know, that's the main thing. And at least for Patricia, I know that, you know, even though you failed, it's not holding you back from trying again, which is awesome. So that's really, you know, a good goal. Yeah. All right. So the next tip I have for you guys is believe that good things will happen. So many times I'm talking to my friends about what they want to do next, and they bring up a lot of bad things that could happen, you know. Well, what if I don't get a new job? What if I quit my job and don't get a new job? What if I jump out of this career and into something and I fail at it, or I don't do well, or I'm not making any money? And yes, those things could happen. But, you know, what about the good things that could happen? So I want to introduce you to you guys that, you know, believe in your success. For every bad thing that you're thinking of that could happen, try to name a good thing that could happen. And notice where all those bad beliefs are forming. You know, is it about your success? Is it about your money? Is it about your is it about your relationship? Is it about your job, your career, or your worthiness? And give yourself room to have good things too. I was on a coaching call, and one of my clients, who's a very smart person, was talking about starting his own financial firm and helping people start their own, you know, start to learn about their own finances and help them build their own finances, because he really was passionate about money and the stock market, and also, you know, building wealth for good things, for philanthropic processes. And so he came to me and was like, oh, I have all these worries about, you know, failing in my business or not getting any clients. And after he laid out all his problems on the shelf, I said, well, is it possible that you're going to be successful at this? Is it possible that next year you'll have at least one client? And is it possible that that client is going to love you and going to pay you money to do this? And then is it possible, are you going to get, if you can get another client in another 6 months? And so that really opened his mind to turning his thoughts around, like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Like, I never thought of those possibilities. I was only thinking of the bad things. And so, I want to help you guys cultivate those habits. That good habit is to, you know, for every bad thing that you think will happen, you don't have to get rid of it. I think that it's your natural awareness to protect yourself, right? If you are, you know, setting up your own business and you want to prepare for, you know, not having money for 6 months, you're going to put away 6 months worth of money. That's a good step, right? And that's your logic telling you what to do to prepare for the worst. And that's a good thing. But, you know, don't always think of what can go wrong. Try to allow yourself to have opportunities for things to go right. So how can you cultivate that? What can you do? One great thing is to visualize your success. So for whatever you want to be successful in, say I want to start a great pizza restaurant, I can visualize where I want it to be in this great busy area where I get a lot of foot traffic. I can imagine hiring an amazing chef who loves pizza too and really wants to share their gifts with the community. And then I can imagine a lot of people coming in and, you know, enjoying my restaurant, having a good time, and eating a lot of pizza. And those are just as valuable as, you know, anticipating, you know, what if nobody comes in? You know, what if one person comes in this week? What if three people come this week? You know, you can set yourself up to prepare for that. Well, if one person comes in, then maybe I need to do some more marketing or do something else. But, you know, think of the positive things. Like if 10 people come in, you know, I definitely need to be prepared with having enough pizza, having enough food, and then making sure everybody enjoys their time and having a good time with them too. So why don't we do another exercise here too? If you are struggling with something right now and you have all these thoughts of like what can go wrong and what's going to go bad, table those thoughts and then think of something that's going to go well. Or think of a way that can, that a positive thing can happen. So take a minute to do that. And then if anybody wants to share, I want to open the floor and let anybody who wants to share, share.
I see. Am I muted?
Yes, I can hear you. Is that Diana?
Okay. Hi, I'm Diana. I like that you asked this because today I created an invitation to a group that I want to start. My is to support caregivers, especially of people who are living with dementia. And I want to create caregiver retreats for these men and women that care for others all the time so that they can get a sense of self-care and some tools and some support and some love and grace in their own life and know how valuable and cherished they are. So as I'm writing the invitation, I'm thinking, what if nobody responds to the invitation and nobody, you know, will can come on those days or whatever. It's like, well, I'll come next time, but not this time. And then I didn't really give that a lot of time and attention. I started thinking about how good people would feel when they were there and what we could share and how they could feel really special and really cared for and pampered and have fun and laugh. And I'm a chef, so I would share really delicious food with them. And maybe after spending 2 or 3 hours in this little session, they would leave feeling really great.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. You're getting ready to put on this event, and it's, you know, for a great cause, for care, you know, caring about caretakers and giving them space to feel supported. And, you know, naturally you're worried that no one's going to show up, no one's going to want to come, but you also know that people that do come are going to get a lot out of it. You know, they're going to feel great afterwards, they're going to feel great during, and they're going to enjoy being in your company and feeling supported and in what you have to give. So that's awesome, Diana.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that brings me to my next thing is affirm your strengths. You know, we're so easy to be our own critics. We're so quick to be our own critics that we forget what our strengths are, I think. And so part of cultivating beliefs that good things will happen is to know, you know, what you're good at. You know, I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at taking care of people, making them feel supported. I'm good at taking care of my husband, making their feelings supported. I'm good at selling things, or, you know, give yourself, take a minute now to affirm one of your strengths. And if it helps you, write it down, put it on your wall so that you can see it every day and remember that, and remember that your strengths are going to carry you into those good things. Right? There's no reason why not on a, why we can't all be successful. All right. And my third tip is to cultivate a good relationship with yourself. I think that a really big defining moment for me when I quit my job was I don't know what I want to do. And I don't even know where to start looking or how to start looking. And I would recommend people, the first place to start is with yourself. Make a list of the things that you like, the things that you don't like. Why I do like them, so you can understand yourself better. You know, do I like being around people? Do I love being around people, or do I hate being around people? And in what circumstances? Like, for instance, I love people, but I can't be in a large party. It makes me anxious. Like having more than 10 people around me, even if I know them all, is a tough thing for me. And so I learned that I don't want to put myself in those kind of situations because they're not going to make me feel good. And, you know, that's the first step. So if I know about that, then I know how to cultivate the rest of my life, my career, my relationship. You know, if I want to bring people into my life more, then I'm going to do it in small groups. I'm going to invite like two couples of time to hang out and not invite like a large group. And in that way, I can really understand, okay, well, then how does that translate to other parts of my life? If I'm volunteering, do I want to be in a huge space where I'm volunteering with 20 people? Probably not. If I'm working, do I want to be in a large space where I'm just like with 10, 20 people all the time? Definitely not. And so knowing those things, I can start to cultivate also where I might want to be in my life. And so it really helps to also extend that to defining your boundaries and keep defining your boundaries. You know, so what are boundaries? Boundaries are things that you are willing to do and things that you aren't willing to do. And when you go beyond your own boundaries, you feel bad. Like, overgiving. Maybe you have this one friend that you just give and give and give to them. And sometimes you feel so drained and tired and you just want to go to bed. You don't have any time to even like make yourself a meal or take a shower. You're so spent. And that's because you've given so much of yourself that you don't have enough. And so putting up a boundary to say, I'm only going to give so much, you know, 2 hours of my time instead of 4 hours of my time will really help you to build your own foundation of happiness. And then that's going to translate into the rest of your life. So into your career or into whatever you're doing now, even you're going to be able to take care of yourself better, understand yourself better, and then use that on all areas of your life. Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys to, and this I think also goes hand in hand with trying new things, because as you try new things, you learn about yourself. You learn, oh, I like doing this. Like I liked hiking. I want to do more of it. And then you go and try more and try it in different ways. And you develop this understanding of yourself. Okay, I like it this way or I don't like it this way and why and how. And well, is a key to defining your happiness. Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys to write down something about yourself that you know you like doing, and something that you don't like doing. And then really keep those boundaries clear. And I don't like going to bed past 10 o'clock. And then cultivate that boundary. And see how you do with that. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions about this? Okay. So, yeah. So a couple things that you can do to keep developing a good relationship with this, other than trying new things, is exercising, eating well, you know, eating nourishing food, and positive self-talk. We talked about, you know, putting yourself in this negative thought process, but also have room for the positive thought process too. When you are able to congratulate yourself for something, for to realize that you're doing something well, then that really helps propel you in any situation, in your career, in your relationships. And so developing this relationship for yourself is something that you can do even before you know what your passion is, before you know where you want to take your life. And it's going to help you be happy now. All right, so the next tip I want to give you guys is to know your support, and don't feel bad about reaching out. So one important thing is to identify who is in your corner and then who might not be. So for me, I know, you know, a lot of my friends are supporting me. My boyfriend is definitely supporting me, but my parents don't support me. They don't understand why I quit my job. They don't understand why I left a career I was good at. They don't understand a lot of those things, even though I explained to them that I wasn't happy. They thought they wanted me to do it a different way. They wanted me to, you know, keep a job and try outside of work what I wanted to do. They wanted me to, you know, get a part-time job in the same thing, or, you know, do it a different way. And for me, it wasn't what I wanted, and I knew it wasn't right for me. And so even though they're my parents and I love them, I knew that I couldn't reach out to them for support, you know, and that I had to talk to them a little less maybe in the time period that I wasn't, because talking to them was really hard and not helpful to my life. And so really help identifying, you know, who is in your corner, who is actually supporting you, and what does that mean? So someone that is actually supporting you is supporting whatever decision you make, because ultimately you know what's best for you. And so having someone tell you what to do and expect you to do it is not going to be helpful to you. What's really going to be helpful is someone who, whatever you tell them, or whatever they tell you, even if you don't take their advice, they're going to support you in whatever you want to do, because this is your playground. This life, right, is your learning process to figure out what you want and why. And so having people around you to support you to do that is really important, because for me, it was really easy to get in a rut and to get really discouraged. And so having someone to tell me, no, you made the right decision by quitting, or no, you know, maybe right now you don't have any money, but in the future you're going to be okay. Having those people to say that stuff to me was so, so valuable in getting me through the roughest times of the last 2 years. And so I want to encourage you guys to find your support, you know, and all you need is one person in your corner telling you you're making the right decision, or, you know, maybe right now it's really hard, but this is worth it. And someone who really is not going to force their opinions or force their ideas on you or expect you to do it, do what they're telling you to do. Someone who gives you space is someone that really supports you. And if you have a community or if you know people that are going through the same thing, you know, reach out to them and create a community around you. And that was, that's also sort of my vision for this, is starting to put myself out there is to show you guys, you know, there's six people on this call right now. There's people out here who are going through a lot of the same things that you are, who are trying to change their lives, looking for a better way. And you're not alone, and you're probably going through a lot of the same worries about finances, about failure, about everything. And so I want to encourage you guys to speak out, to talk about what you're going through more, and to create that community. Reach out regularly. And I was talking to Eva the other day, and she was like, oh yeah, we should create a Facebook group or a community like that. So if you guys have an interest or a desire in that, definitely reach out and let me know, and you know, we'll get something going. Because the last thing I, you know, want you guys to feel is that you're alone, because you're so not. Yeah, and so that brings me to my last piece of advice, is connect with your intuition. What was really key in me finding my way out of that unhappy career, unhappy lifestyle, was connecting more to my intuition. You know, at that point in my life, I was like, I don't have a mentor. I don't have anyone that can really guide me. I don't even know what I want to do with my life. So how am I going to find someone to help me figure it out? You know, like, what, who, you know, who does that? Is that even a thing that people do for other people? And all I had was myself and this drive to just help people. And so I felt like, well, that feeling is coming from somewhere. So how can I harness that feeling and take it apart? Like the strive to help people. You know, I had volunteered in so many ways. I had done a lot of, I raised money. I worked in development and nonprofit, and I still felt like I wasn't getting to what I really wanted to do, but I still felt this drive to like help people. And so I started looking into it. And the word that was definitely, that described it was intuition. You know, this natural instinct that I had to know what to do, or to know if something was bad or good. You know, you maybe you walk into a group of people and you meet someone and you shake their hand and you're talking to them and they seem nice and all, but you get this funny feeling like, oh, this is not a good person. Like I shouldn't. I don't want to be around this person for that much longer. That's your intuition. And I want to encourage you guys too, is to connect with your intuition. You know, it's something that people don't, that we don't teach in school, that we don't teach anywhere, but it's really a part of ourselves and it's a skill. And it's going to help you figure out what to do, because your intuition is always right. It's always going to support you in your journey, and it's never going to create negative feelings in you. If you notice, you know, within yourself, you might have like kind of like two voices. One is always telling you, you know, the logical thing, you know, protect yourself, you know, think about all these things, think through the situation so you can be prepared for the worst, which is good. But you also have this voice, like your intuition, which is your intuition telling you, well, this could be a good thing. These are good things that could happen. And you might not always know why it's a good thing, but it, you know, it feels good. And so I want to invite you guys to explore that more, because when I really tapped into my intuition is when I started to find more happiness in my life and to start to find my calling. What happened to me was I was kind of floundering around looking for leads and talking to people, thinking about what I should do. And I was a yoga instructor at the time. And so one thing I knew I had always wanted to do, had an interest in, was studying the human body and learning more about the muscles and kinesiology, the way people move, because I felt like that would make me a better instructor and make me more able to help people, because I was getting all these questions about muscles and things that I really didn't know. So I asked my friend who was a massage therapist, hey, you know, where did you go to massage school? What did you study? Do you like doing it? Because I felt like, you know, I didn't want to go back to college to study, and not just study me in kinesiology. You know, I just needed a place where that really focused on that and did that well. And so I felt like, oh, massage school would probably be a place where I could go and study that. And she said, well, I have a license, but I didn't go to massage school to do massage. I went to massage school to do craniosacral therapy, because you need a massage license to touch people. And so I said, oh, okay, what's that? You know, and she talked about it more, and she really had a passion for it, which was really inspiring. And she said, actually, I think you would be a good therapist. You should look into it and see, maybe take a class and see if you like it. So I said, okay, you know, okay, well, I'll take a class. I'll read about it. And, you know, the class that she recommended for me was $800. It was a 4-day class in the OC, and it was coming up in like a month and a half, and there was still space, but it was a lot of money. And so I was kind of afraid, you know, at the time I wasn't working. I said, no, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to invest in this? And I had all these negative thoughts, like, oh, well, if I take the class and I don't like it, I've blown $800. I can't get it back. You know, is it worth it? Should I invest my time in something else that I know I'll like? Because this doesn't really have anything to do with what I was originally asking about. But then when I got quiet and I said, well, ask your intuition, you know, is this right for you? I asked, and it felt really good. It felt like the pathway was clear that I should go do this. And so I took a leap of faith. I put my ego aside and said, okay, I'm going to go do this. And the rest is history. You know, I fell in love with it. It was really amazing. I've gotten a lot of benefit from receiving the work. And I've seen a lot of people get better after giving them the work. And so, you know, the whole story is that, the moral of the story is that, you know, when I trusted my intuition and it led me in the right direction. And I really owe my changes to trusting my intuition. So I can't express enough that this is something that you should look into. So how do you develop your intuition? What do you want to know about it? Well, there's definitely a lot of books on it. And there's three here that I listed, and I'll definitely put in my blog and put in, write down for you guys so that you can have it too. The first one is Trust Your Vibes by Sonia Choquette. And that's a really good book. She writes, it's like, I think, 80 chapters, because the whole point of the book is that every day you flip to a new chapter and you say, and you read it, and it's a tip on things that you can do there during that day to work on your intuition, to build it up, to learn how to listen to it better instead of listening to your ego all the time. And so that's a great book. I really love that book. Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking by Malcolm Gladwell is really amazing too. I don't remember if he ever identifies the word intuition in the book. I don't think he does, but he really uses a lot of other words like instinct, thinking without thinking, gut knowing, and those are all really the same thing. Because your intuition comes is like your gut knowing, the part of you that knows without understanding why or how you know. And so that book is really great. It has so many great anecdotes about successful people who trusted their gut and it led them to where they are now. And then the last book I want to mention is called Practical Intuition, How to Harness the Power of Your Instinct and Make It Work for You by Laura Day. That's a really great practical book too, because she gives you a great description of what intuition is. And then she tells you and gives you steps on how to practice it, what to do with it, and how to strengthen your intuition, because your intuition is a muscle. And you can make it stronger. You can learn to listen to it better. You can develop it, and then you can use it as a tool in your life to make your own life better. So I can't stress this one enough. If there's anything that you take away from this hour, then I hope it's that you can connect, that connecting with your intuition is the way to go. Yeah. So that's all my tips for you guys. I'm definitely going to write this all up in my blog and, you know, have a little condensed version of it. And then post this recording too, so that if you ever want to listen to it or re-listen to it and hear what I had to say, you can do that too. If you want to keep in touch with me, definitely check out my Facebook and my website. And then I'll also be starting a newsletter for more webinars, more opportunities like this to get some free coaching. And if you want to keep in touch with me that way, you can go to my website and join my newsletter there. Or you can also email me directly at coach@minku.com. Yeah. So now I know we're getting close to 8 o'clock, but I want to open it up for everybody to ask one question and get some coaching on whatever they want to get coached on. So, who would like to go first? Sarah? Hello?
Hi, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Right. I'm tuning in while I'm driving.
No worries. Do you?
Yeah, I don't want you to leave this webinar.
Well, I don't want to distract you from driving. So if you wanted to stop and pull over or, you know, get to a place, then maybe I'll go to someone else and you can let me know if you're ready, if you want to get a question answered or help with something.
I actually do have a quick question. So just recently, like, I guess the stars kind of just aligned, but my resume ended up in the hands of like a recruiter, and he had, you know, and it's actually for the major that I studied for engineering, and I'm working in research, and I was always taking it easy, and I haven't applied for a real engineering job because I always felt discouraged or I didn't feel good enough. And so he was pretty much stating, you know, like, I just want to hire you on the spot and this and that. And then I just panicked. Like, I just freaked out because I just thought, if I go into this job, like, what if I fail? Like, what if they, you know, I have this like really bad imposter syndrome where like I earned this degree, but then I just feel like, I don't know how I did. Like, you know, I'm not confident in it. So I guess I'm trying to apply what you said today to that to help me, you know, just like you said, you know, these situations, every time you have a negative thought about something, try to have a positive thought going forward about it. So I'm trying to stay positive about this. If it, you know, comes to fruition, I'll be happy. But yeah, I'm still a little nervous.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like, you know, someone found you. They thought they all they needed to look at was your resume, and they could tell you're qualified and they want to hire you, which is great. But you're still feeling like imposter syndrome, like, oh, am I really worthy of this? Am I ready for this? You know, he hasn't even met me in person. Do I really deserve this? And then can I do a good job in it?
Right.
Is that what's going on? Yeah. Yeah, that's
all. Yeah, that's, you're hitting it right on the nail.
That's all really definitely normal stuff. And first, I want to congratulate you because you got a job without even trying. That's awesome. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like the first hard part is getting your confidence, like finding your confidence. Even though you have this degree, you're not confident in the work maybe that they're going to ask you to do. So let's explore that a little. Like, why do you feel like you haven't earned the degree when you have earned the degree?
I think it really stemmed from like going through the program. And then always hearing like, oh, you know, only a few of you will actually make it. The rest of you, you know, you're not going to make it, you know, and this and that. And I always was really hard on myself and thinking, you know, like, you know, how could I be one of the lucky ones that actually made it? Like, maybe if it's too good to be true, you know, if it's, you know, I always hear like, oh, if it's too good to be true, it's usually not. So, you know, I had that negative vibe. And then, you know, when, you know, this opportunity came my direction, like, of course, I'm happy. But then at the same time, I have this internal thing, like, scared, like, well, you know, what if you go and then you show that you really don't know what you're talking about, you know, and I don't know, all this negativity. Yeah. So I'm trying to get past that.
It sounds like even in your program, you have these people telling you already that you're not going to succeed, which is mean. And not supportive at all. And it really started to ingrain in you that, you know, you're not going to succeed. So by their definition of, was it that people that you wouldn't, like, that only very few people get into this, get the degree? Or what was, you know, what are they saying, that people aren't going to get a start in this career and be successful in this career? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they kind of painted it like, you know, first, you know, my very first introductory class into this major that I just was in awe of, you know, it just, you know, the professor pretty much stated, you know, like, he had everyone stand up and he's like, oh, if you're wearing jeans, sit down. If you have brown hair, sit down, you know, just all these different things. And so after he got the majority of the class to sit down and three people were standing, he's like, yep, well, the three that are standing will, out of all of you, will probably, you know, statistically be the ones to pass the program. And so that was very discouraging. Wow. Going in, you know, I would have liked some positive, you know, like, oh, congratulations, like, welcome to college. But it wasn't really that way. And throughout the whole career, like my schooling, it just seems like a lot of professors would be very hard on you, like, as if I weren't already hard on myself. They would be hard on you and be like, you know what, like, if you don't understand this, you'll never make it, you know. And it was really tough. It was really tough to say the least. And then, you know, kind of when I describe it, people are like, this just doesn't sound like real. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's the environment that I was in. It was very, they made it very cutthroat because they wanted to, I don't know, I guess, emulate what the industry would be like going off into the job field. And I've only seen from the job field, like, I don't know, from the people that I've spoken with, they've been very nice and kind and very open to helping teach you if you haven't learned. And, you know, they're not looking for the best and the brightest or the greatest, but they're just looking for someone who's eager to learn. And so I'm trying to get those negative, you know, those negative things out of my head, but then I still can't help but, you know, think them, you know, like, oh, my professor said this.
Yeah, of course.
Like, someone who I was learning from was teaching me things.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
these teachers,
oh, man,
that you trusted to prepare you, you know, told you all these things about life that, you know, were quote unquote true. But it sounds like, you know, the one teacher that said, hey, only like 3 of you are going to pass this program, right? But it sounds, but you passed it, right? You got through it and you got your degree. And so you are very successful in that sense. And then these teachers, these other teachers who are telling you, oh, once you get an industry, it's really hard, it's cutthroat, it's going to be really difficult. They're painting that picture, but you're also saying that the picture that you actually see, the reality that you see right now in front of you, is that it's not that way at all. People are kind, yeah. People are supportive, people are willing to help you. And so you're still holding on to these old beliefs, but you're also holding on to these new positive beliefs too, is kind of what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah. And that's a big part of like why I was wanting to get into this webinar and listen in, because, you know, trying to find your bliss. I'm like, man, I really haven't, after all these years of schooling, I'm like really beat myself up. Now I really need to find myself. And like this group is really, really helpful. Like your advice is super helpful. And like, you know, all this positive affirmation, it's making me feel less stressed about the potential of a new job opportunity, you know, that may come soon. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I think this is a common thing that people get into, is they're holding on to a worry or a negative thing because they want to protect themselves from something. Mm-hmm. Like you want to protect yourself from failure, from failing at this job, from getting to a hard space. But I want to introduce you to the idea that you've set yourself up for success. You know, you got through this hard program. You earned your degree. You now have earned a job just by virtue of your resume. And there are people at this job that I want to help you and support you and teach you. And so I think you're right. Like one of the things that I talked about was believe in success. And so if I could give you some homework today, is I know you see the opportunity for success, right? These people who are willing to help you and cultivate you and teach you, right? So expand on that more. Even if you could even talk to them more about it, like what can you do? Or, you know, even also you can express some of your fears, like, oh, what if I don't understand something, or, you know, what will happen? You know, go through those thought processes instead of going back to your negative thought processes.
Thank you. I will definitely do that. Yeah. I can actually see, like, you know, if I'm sharing my, you know, worries ahead of time, you know, if they give me good feedback, then of course that's someone I'd like to work with. But if I, on the flip side, thinking positively, if I don't get the feedback that I'm looking for, then, you know, there's other opportunities out there. Maybe this just isn't the one for me. So that, yeah, that will definitely be great. Helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, because you've already gained the skills to discern who is going to be supportive of you. Obviously, you had teachers that are not, so you know what that's like, and you know who you don't want to be around. So you know, mm-hmm. The positive in them being mean to you was that now you know how to discern who you don't want to be around, and you have complete control over that. So that's great that you recognize that. That's awesome. And so, yeah, I would encourage you to just keep moving forward with the skills that you have and to trust your skills, you know, trust your ability to put yourself in a space for success.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. All right. Who's next? John, would you like to ask a question or get help on something?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hey, John.
Oh, hey, guys. Sorry, I was late. I was fumbling around installing everything and trying to
no problem.
Find it. My bad.
Yeah.
But no, I'm
no problem.
I'm good though. Right now. Thank you for the offer. And this is badass. You doing this for us right now.
Awesome. Right, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. All right. That leaves Eva. How are you feeling? Do you have something you want to ask? No, I can't hear you. I'm hearing things now.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I've talked to you before about my job, and it's something that, like, I never really was, like, excited about or, like, passionate about or anything. It's just, like, I was, like, okay with it. I guess to give, like, more an idea of what I do, I basically work at the immigration court. And I write decisions for immigration judges. And during these past few months, so my job has been really soul-sucking, and it's driven me to depression, actually. And it's because of a multitude of things that just have combined. And one of those things is just the current administration and what it wants us to do. I just feel like we're just like decision-writing drones, and we're dealing with people who are just now seen as like numbers, and doing that just feels like it's not really rewarding. It's actually a really negative thing I feel like I'm taking a part of. And then also the people I'm working with, it seems like they don't really care about that. Some of them, they're really just very ambitious to the point where they don't care about other people. They'll step over you and they'll badmouth you as long as they can get further themselves. And they're very judgmental. So it just felt like a really negative atmosphere. And there's no HQ for us. There's like no one, you know, like there's no one up above us in management that really cares about us. Like it's more of like, you know, just do your job. And everyone just does it. And everyone's afraid to leave because, you know, what else is there out there? Federal government's supposed to be like the cushy, you know, great, you know, company.
Yeah.
And consider looking elsewhere, but I feel like the skill sets I've built with this job don't lead me much to anywhere else. So I feel stuck. I've been like looking at jobs, but nothing's been.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in a tough place because the work you're doing now is so unfulfilling. It sounds like it's counter to your integrity, like what you believe is what you believe in doing. Like you're doing work that goes against your, like, being a good person sometimes. And then you're around cold people. You're around people who are just going to step all over you, who only care about themselves. Yeah, it sounds like a really, no wonder you feel so down and depressed. Like, being in that space, you know, is going to make you that way. So I want to tell you how strong you are for sticking it out, you know, for staying there and for coming here to search for ways to get out of it. And I guess your question is, you know, how can you get unstuck? How can you get out of this space?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think you can do to get out of this space?
I'm not sure, because at the same time, it's like, I'm afraid to leave. Because I've talked to some people at work, and I talked to one of the people that they're like older and they're more experienced, and they said like, oh, I've been to worse places. This place is like so much better than that. And you could be leaving this hell to be going to a worse hell. And he's speaking from like working, you know, over 30 years. And I'm like, oh, he has a point. You know, what if I'm just going to something worse? You know, what if, you know, it's just little things like that.
Yeah.
Also like looking for other things and just looking at job postings, like I'm not qualified for a lot of things or a lot of jobs. I look at them like, okay, is this something I can even do? Would that even make me happy? Would that even be worse? Like, am I just going from one? Because, like, I feel like law just attracts law.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of Anyways, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Do you want to keep working in law?
I feel like because I've put in so much time and effort to, like, go to law school and all that money, too, to pay for it and, like, leave it. I don't know. I mean, know what I would do otherwise, you know, like, I don't, I'm not really good at anything else. I've not really been passionate about anything else. So
you are passionate about law.
I don't know. I'm passionate about law. If I had to do it again, I wouldn't do law school again.
Okay. So it's safe to say that you're not passionate about law, but you spend so much time in it, cultivating a career, going to school, that it's hard for you to leave it right now. You don't want to feel like you're throwing it all away. Well, I'm going to say that you're not throwing it all away, you know. All the skills that you learned in law school and out of law school and in your job, you're going to be able to take with you wherever you go. You might not be doing law, but all those skills are going to translate into whatever job you do, right? The ability to read and discern information well, to do it quickly, and then to be able to rewrite it for other people, is that, you know, that's something I feel like not a lot of people can do that, like the way that lawyers do. But that's a skill that can translate to a lot of things, like teaching, you know, helping people learn something, right? If you can read a document and learn it and then bring it back to someone to teach it to them, that's right. Your skill is translating to that. Not that, you know, I'm saying go be a teacher, but that's an example of a place where it's going to translate. And so I want to encourage you to think that your skills are going to go with you in whatever job you take. And you're not, by leaving this job and maybe leaving law, you're not throwing away your education. That's not, because, you know, can you really say, you know, what does that mean, throwing away your education, that you like spit on it and, you know, say, I'm not going to use these things that I learned ever again. Like, you can't do that. You're just, those are ingrained in you, right? And so you're going to take them and you're going to be awesome at whatever job you do decide you want to do because you've been a lawyer.
I guess I'm just struggling to find what I guess could do.
Yeah, that is definitely the struggle. And then my encouragement there would be, you know, connect with your intuition and see what's best for you. Ask yourself, you know, what's best for me? And then trust it, right? Because it's easy to hear like, oh, what's best for you now would be to look for a new job. And then you start to find them and get discouraged. And then it'll be easy to go down that rabbit hole of negativity, like, oh, I'm not qualified for this, I'm not qualified for that, or it sounds like I'm not qualified or this and that, you know. So I would encourage you to follow it and trust, and to just keep looking, because the hardest part is, you know, trusting. And that's definitely where I would recommend you start. But I can't tell you, you know, you're going to find it by doing this, or you're going to find it tomorrow, or you're going to find, right? It's going to be a process. And I don't doubt that you're going to find it, though, right? Because you're a smart person, you're intelligent, you're resourceful, you obviously have the energy to find and do things that you love. Like, I know you rock climb and, you know, you travel and you make time for the things you care about. So you have all the skills that you need to go out there and find whatever it is that you want to do. Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah. Just trying to stay positive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, keep trying new things. Try things that you might not think make sense, you know, because you never know where they're going to lead you. If it's learning about something else or learning about a new thing or learning something about yourself, it can be valuable. So just when you feel stuck, just keep trying things would be my advice.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. All right. So it's 8:15. Thank you all for staying on and for joining and supporting me. I really feel grateful to have you guys as friends and for you guys to be here. So thank you very much. Yeah. So have a good night, and I will message you all and talk to you soon. Okay. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.